Former MI5 agent, whistleblower David Shaler will join us to give us a global overview on the still continuing gear up for war with Iran. Four aircraft carrier task force groups. That's unprecedented. They've never done that before. It's normally two or three, even in Gulf War One and Two. Massed in the Persian Gulf, right up against the coastline, sitting ducks. Who knows what's going to happen? He'll be joining us to talk about the Litvinenko case that's spiraling and getting bigger and bigger, and so much more coming up in the next segment. Some of the news that I was covering the last hour, top-level insiders are selling their stock. It's a record in the last 20 years, and it has this type of dumping has always happened by the CEOs right before a serious recession or depression or, quote, correction. It says here in the New York Post, Wall Street investors are displaying fresh worries that the Federal Reserve might pull the trigger too quickly on hiking rates again, and that's to try to boost the dollar, that's why they're not doing it, possibly plunging the U.S. into a recession as the Fed did in 2000. But if they don't do that, the dollar plunges. People will have to buy the dollar. It's fiat. Just before the worst of the 2000 recession, insider sales were also at a near record. This new record is even above that. So there's the rest of the story, as they say. Really scary article here in the Associated Press. Scope of Second Amendment questioned in a case that could shape firearms laws nationwide. Did you hear me? Attorneys for the District of Columbia argued Thursday, that's yesterday, that the Second Amendment right to bear arms applies only to militias, not individuals. So in the past, they argued that they could regulate and restrict individuals. Now they're arguing you have no right to own a gun. This is your government. This is the criminals. The mafia doesn't want armed slaves because slaves aren't armed. The city defended a constitutional, its longstanding ban on handguns, a law that some gun opponents have advocated elsewhere. Civil liberties groups and pro-gun organizations say the ban is unconstitutional. Oh, no, America isn't all about being able to own guns. Oh, no, the war didn't start when the British came to confiscate the guns from the British. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, there's no. It's like these lying professors. One of them got defrocked and lost his tenure for lying and claiming that 1% of the colonials owned guns and we were anti-gun. They wouldn't actually look at the numbers. He made them up. They didn't exist. Of course, we know from the record that it was almost 100% gun ownership. At issue in the case before a federal appeals court is whether the Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms applies to all people or only to a well-regulated militia. No, it talks about a well-regulated militia, comma, and the right of the people, to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And they have the constitutional debates, Continental Congress debates, and the ratification debates later. The Bush administration has endorsed individual gun ownership rights, but the Supreme Court has never settled the issue. There have been hundreds of Supreme Court and state court rulings saying it's an individual right, but they don't ever want you to know about those rulings, so that's a lie right there. If the dispute makes its way to the high court, it would be the first case in 70 years. Wait, I thought you said it's never been addressed. To address the amendment scope, the court disappointed gun owner groups in 2003 when it refused to take up a challenge to California's ban on assault weapons. When you got 8 of the 9 members appointed by Republicans, they're going to be anti-gun. Look at Governor Pataki. Look at all this scum. Bunch of gun-grabbing demons. They're coming for your guns.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. TerrorStorm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. TerrorStorm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot. No matter what the reason, you can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bed, F, AN.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Often imitated, never duplicated. I wish they would duplicate. I don't even think I have that good of a show, but it is effective against the New World Order. We're going to go to David Shaler, who's a good friend of mine and done a great job exposing false flag, government-sponsored and criminal network-sponsored terror. We can't air the entire 30-minute interview, but he exposed 7-7, 9-11, how he discovered that MI6 was funding Al-Qaeda. That's what he originally blew the whistle on in the late 90s. And he got on Rupert Murdoch-owned Sky Television News. We're going to air about 4 minutes of it right now and then go to him. Here it is.
Everybody is saying in this country that this is the Russian government. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's much more likely to be the oligarchs who are connected to this kind of new world order of high finance, the oil industry and the arms industry, who assassinated Litvinenko. Because Litvinenko was not a simple dissident. He was actually blowing the whistle on false flag terrorism. This is the same thing that I blew the whistle on. And, of course, these people in the New World Order don't want this to come out because there are many other examples of this, and I include among them 9/11 and possibly 7/7, and they're trying to keep a lid on it. And the reason they're carrying out these false flag operations and blaming Islamic extremists, for example, is so that they can invade countries like Iraq and Afghanistan. And, of course, that's all very good for the arms industry, the oil industry, and the finance industry.
Okay, hey, slow down. I think you're going to... I'm just going to join the dots up here. Bear with us, Jonathan, in a minute. I will come to you in a second. You're saying the oligarchs would want him dead because he's about to tell us what?
Well, he's actually a whistleblower on false flag terrorism. The false flag terrorism he blows the whistle on is in September 1999, and we're calling this 999 now. There were a series of explosions at tower blocks in Moscow, And these were blamed on right. Islamic Chechens, basically.
Now, we have heard this story. This is the allegation is that the Russian government did this. Or the
well,
FSB,
certainly the,
right?
the FSB, the Russian intelligence service,
as a means to justify the invasion of Chechnya.
Absolutely, yes. They were caught doing it. It's not clear whether these were rogue elements of that service or whether it's being done on behalf of the Russian government. I have to say that. But Litvinenko was using his own personal experience to bear on other issues and starting to investigate perhaps other examples of false flag terrorism. He was about to write a book and so on. And they didn't want this stuff coming out from somebody who already had a reputation for blowing the whistle and somebody who looked to be very, very reliable.
There's no comparison, is there, that even if Russian authorities or rogue Russian elements did that to justify an invasion of Chechnya, are you saying there's a parallel with what happened on 9/11 to justify an invasion of Iraq?
I am saying that, yes, and if you actually look at the document called...
for that?
Well, there's a document written by the neocons. This includes people like Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and Pearl and even Jeb Bush, the brother of the president. And this dates from September 2000, before the current Republican administration. And they say in that, quite barefaced, that America needs fuel, needs energy. So they say we've got to secure a gas pipeline across Afghanistan. We've got to secure the oil supply from Iraq and Iran. But we can only do this through an invasion, and the people of America won't accept this in the absence of a catastrophic and cataclysmic event like a new Pearl Harbor. And of course, Pearl Harbor was what inflamed American public opinion to get the Americans into the Second World War.
So you're asking us to believe that an American administration or elements within an American administration deliberately set around to murder 3,000 of its own citizens to justify invading Iraq?
I am, because the profits involved, and look what's happened as a result of it. Halliburton got a no-bid contract for billions of dollars. Dick Cheney, of course, is associated with Halliburton. When you look at the physical evidence for 9/11 to prove the official story, it's simply not there. And I know from working on the Lockerbie issue, for example, that every time a plane goes down, it is a requirement of international law that there is an air crash investigation carried out. And that's quite separate from any investigation to terrorism. So on that day, we should have 4 air crash investigations. We have none. So we can hand on heart say there is no evidence that Flight 11 went to the North Tower and Flight 175 went to the South Tower, because they didn't do that painstaking forensic work. And similarly...
Well, what is the video we know and show? We're getting a bit off topic here, but I mean...
I would say to anybody, slow that video down and make your own conclusion about what is going on there. But what I must also mention as well, which I find very suspicious as a former counter-terrorist officer, is that less than 1% of the steel taken from Ground Zero was forensicated. The rest of it was shipped off to China, where it was melted down. Now, that, again, is a criminal offence to interfere in a crime scene. And yet this less than 1% that was forensicated showed traces of sulphur, which is consistent with a byproduct of fermate, an explosive used in controlled demolition, clearly implying the towers were brought down by controlled demolition. And I'll tell you, anybody else, look at Building 7. Do you know about Building 7?
Tell me. Briefly.
That day at 5:20, Building 7 came down. A 47-story building comes down in 6.5 seconds. The central column goes first, it falls in its own footprint. That is entirely consistent with controlled demolition. And the leasehold of the site, Larry Silverstein, said a year later on PBS, the decision was made to have it pulled.
And it goes on and on. This is incredible. Why on earth, because normally they shout you down just like they do here on Fox Television, why did he let you go on and on? This is groundbreaking, David.
It is, yeah. I'm not quite sure what happened. I think he just got genuinely interested. I mean, some people said he knew about it. I don't think he did, because he never knew. He didn't know anything about Building 7. I had to explain that to him, for example, as you heard in the clip. So I think he was genuinely interested, not really knowing the kind of can of worms he was opening. And what was interesting is when they started reading out the email response in the middle of the program, I could see him flicking through them, looking for ones criticizing me. There were lots in favor, even one from a controlled demolition expert, but very few against. He managed to find one. By the end of the program, he was saying it was about evenly split in favour against me. We don't know, obviously, if that's true or not. We don't know whether the kind of stooges of the intelligence services got their people to email the program. But
well, we know from scientific polls, 84% believe there's a cover-up, and 36% believe total inside job, 68% believing they could be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at public opinion polls, I know the public are on my side. I'm just normally when I do telephone interviews in Britain, I know I'm very closely monitored by the intelligence services and the New World Order when I do that, and sometimes I get quite personal calls coming in and the phone-ins and so on, just attacking me personally as an attempt to try and destabilise me, attempt to try and get me angry and so on. But normally I manage to keep, play quite a straight bat to that and just keep focusing on the facts, basically, which is what we've all got to do. But it's a great sign when they do personally attack you, because it means that they can't actually attack your information. And that should show to people that we're winning the argument.
Well, exactly. That's what Charlie Sheen said. All they could do was make stuff up about him and make personal attacks. None of the media could even talk about any of the claims he made.
Yeah, and I think we've got to look long and hard at these people in the media who are allowing themselves to be used in this way. I mean, that to me is pretty clear evidence these people are agents of the New World Order. I mean, one thing I did blow the whistle on that appears in Annie's book, Spies, Lies and Whistleblowers, is that there are two MI6 agents of influence working on the Sunday Telegraph, a very prestigious British newspaper. And so I was actually briefed on a story which was completely made up about Colonel Gaddafi's son in an attempt to discredit him. And that, of course, went to a journalist who was an MI6 agent of influence, so he puts it in the paper. But, of course, because the editor of the paper was also an MI6 agent of influence, he makes sure it gets a good showing. Now, when anybody comes to research this in the future, this is all set in stone in the archives as if a proper journalistic investigation has gone on. You know, people on the outside would not know, if I hadn't blown the whistle, that was just information invented by MI6.
Well, people wouldn't know that Hearst Publishing, unless they looked in the encyclopedia, has been part of U.S. intelligence since before 1900, and that members of Homeland Security Director's family wrote the hit piece in Popular Mechanics against myself and others, and it is a government op.
Well, this is it. Once you start to scratch the surface, that is the case. And we've got to wonder why the mainstream media are not following up on these things and not exposing this kind of thing. I mean, fortunately, after our book came out, the two people involved, Dominic Lawson and Con Coughlin, these two journalists on the Sunday Telegraph, did resign. They gave some other reasons, but I can certainly say that Dominic Lawson was effectively marched out of the building. Now, of course, once you've exposed nations of influence, they cease to have any influence at all, because then people realize they are involved with MI6 and just putting out MI6 propaganda. I know both of them have since got jobs at other newspapers, but they don't have jobs that are as prestigious, and I don't think they're reporting on intelligence matters quite as much now.
Okay, I want to go back here to the Litvinenko case, but before we do that, going from the wilderness in, what, 97 or so, when you were first speaking out, to now, when you talk about government false flag terror, then they'd look at you like you had six heads. Now, I've been on talk radio shows where the host attacks me for 2 hours, and he takes 30 calls, and one of them disagrees, and they panic and say everybody's gone crazy. I've seen a total flip where almost everybody now knows the truth. How is this going to affect the global oligarchs who are orchestrating terror attacks through their compartments in intelligence? I think that's the best way to say it. It's not the whole government, criminal elements. I mean, how is this affecting one of their favorite tricks of false flag terror that exponentially it's being exposed and now accepted to be common knowledge? You know, the three stages of truth. First, it is ignored, then it's ridiculed, then it's accepted. I mean, give me your take on that.
Well, the problem is, of course, is they can't actually, I mean, they'd love to go into Iran. We've had Bush going on about this again just recently. But, of course, they can't. And they can't even have a false flag operation because the 9/11 truth movement in the States and in the UK particularly are now so well organized and get information out so quickly. And I think some people will recall that there was talk of going into Iran around about August, September 2005. And somebody spotted that there was actually one of these counter-terrorist training exercises going on, which is always a sign that something might happen, like on 9/11 and 7/7. And this one involves smuggling a suitcase nuke into an American city. Now, it's possible they were going to use that as cover for really doing that. But when people saw details of this posted on the net, people shared the information as widely as possible. So even before they'd done anything, everybody was primed for it. And that counter-terrorist training exercise was actually cancelled, would you believe? So I think that the 9/11 truth movement across the world may well have stopped that false flag operation.
Well, we know we've stopped events. They kept saying it's going to happen, but they haven't been able to, because this stuff doesn't work if you're looking. If you're watching, you know, they can't rob your house if you're home sitting there with a shotgun across your knees.
Well, this is it. Now we've raised the profile of it. It's that much more difficult for them to do it, isn't it, basically? And that should act as a deterrent. The problem is, of course, the very fact that 9/11's coming out and 7/7's coming out and you say all the other stuff about the false flag operations makes them more desperate to start either another Cold War or World War III, so they can, you know, perhaps declare a state of emergency and take control of the media and so on.
I agree with you. Let's talk about Litvinenko, because I'm no fan of Putin. He may be involved, but I think what you're saying about it being New World Order has a lot of credibility. Let's find out who you believe is involved. Is it the oligarchs, Israel, who?
Hi, folks. Jack Brownrigg from Midas Resources. The real money, folks. Let's review a few things from the past year. November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro, a 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the Lenin School of Political Warfare has laid down a plan for a third world war that will destroy both Christianity and communism at the same time? From the rubbles of this war, the Illuminati will establish their world government, prophesied in Revelation chapter 13. Communism said they would pretend to collapse, and when America had begun to disarm, the combined communist world would launch a surprise attack and smash us with their clenched fists. We'd like to show you how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Waging war on corruption Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 p.m. Central. We'll also do a new Sunday show. We know we're fighting for this country's life, the world's life here. Private global interests have seized control of the United States and England and are using it as their own personal mercenary force. And they use the illusion of patriotism to sell us on actually destroying our countries. David Shaler joins us, a real hero. Went public when he found out that the government was hiring Al-Qaeda to commit murders, Al-Qaeda, And since then, has just been spot on so many issues. So I respect his opinion. Litvinenko, okay, and then now this particular isotope showing up in Italy, bars all over London, businesses, Russia, five airplanes. Did Litvinenko really say he thinks Russian intelligence killed him on his deathbed, or is that made up? Or was he blowing the whistle on the Israeli oligarchs? I mean, what's really going on here? With your investigative skills as a former MI5 agent.
Well, you've always got to ask the question, of course, who benefits, and of course the Russians don't. The Russian state doesn't benefit from this. This is putting Putin in the spotlight. There's a lot of accusations, obviously, that Putin is behind it. I mean, someone called Dame Pauline Neville Jones here, who's a former MI6, very senior MI6 officer, has been going around saying all the evidence points to the Russians. So you can be pretty sure that's misinformation coming out of MI6, of course. The people who stand to benefit are the oligarchs and the New World Order. If the Russian services wanted to bump this man off, they use the usual technique. They've actually got a thing, they can, a spray, they can blow through a rolled-up newspaper that hits you on the nose, you breathe it in, you die of a heart attack in seconds. That is the normal method to use by intelligence services who want a clean kill, basically. And, of course, they can then say, if anybody says, oh, the Russians bumped him off, then they can say conspiracy theory died of a heart attack. This has been done for two reasons. One, to discourage other people from blowing the whistle on false flag terrorism, saying to them, if you do this, you're not just going to die, you're going to die a long, slow, and painful death. But secondly, that long, slow, and painful death kept the whole story in the newspapers. The very fact there's contamination elsewhere means the story is going on and on. And this, I think, is designed to inflame British public opinion and try and create a rift between Britain and Russia with a view to a new Cold War.
Well, it looks just like... Well, I agree. I mean, it looks just like the anthrax, which is timed out over a month, which creates fear everywhere of the mail, which clearly was sent by the White House, but then they blame it on Arabs. The White House is on Cipro, the drug that fights it, September 10th, 3.5 weeks. Only Bush enemies get it in Boca Raton. Then their whole... archives of all the stuff on the bushes get seized, Daschle and others, and members of the media get it. And then here, I mean, certainly, you know, early on, some of my writers who do a good job, we're no fan of Putin, who clearly was involved in staging the terror attacks, as you mentioned on the Sky News part. But we know that FSB, was caught by the police planting bombs in a fourth building. We know at that time he stood to gain by being able to blame it on Chechnya as vice president, and then during the election, during a war, be catapulted in a popular landslide. So we know Putin's not a friendly fellow, former KGB agent, but at the same time, we know there's been these fights between some of the oligarchs and Putin, and so, we wrote articles when the media was all saying, no, it's got to be, really the Israelis or somebody else. They wrote some articles saying, well, maybe it is Putin, but I early on have said, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, and this thing does look like it was done to embarrass Putin. But then at the same time, Litvinenko saw it in two press reports. I'm asking you, are those false, or what do you know, saying, no, he believes Russian intelligence killed him. I mean, wouldn't somebody who was dying think who he really thought did it, or are those false reports?
Well, that's it. You can never know in this situation, because the whole situation about life, and I've got to live this a day in, day out as well. I've got to worry about people who come and befriend me. Are they really my friends? Are they reporting back to me on the intelligence
service? It's cloak and dagger.
It is clear. I always say it's a world of smoke and mirrors, and you end up not trusting your own shadow, basically. But what we do know from press reports that haven't been, not press reports in this country, reports on the internet, is that Ehud Olmert, the Israeli Prime Minister, went to see Putin and said to Putin, look, if we invade Iran, will you continue to supply us with oil? And Putin said no. So again, that would indicate perhaps the dead hand of Israel is behind this.
And then 2 weeks later, this happens.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks later, this happens. Now again, that you've got to look at the causes in the background and so on. But see, the trouble with trying to evaluate evidence in this is it's virtually impossible because these people are experts at planting evidence. I mean, it may well be that we're getting all these traces of polonium-210 all over the place to cover up the fact that the first findings of polonium-210 were in the offices of Boris Berezovsky, one of the oligarchs, and in a private intelligence company called Irinis, based in London. Now, if there'd only been two traces there, people would be pointing the finger at them and saying, well, they've handled
but
it.
But then suddenly they find it on a bunch of airplanes in Italy and all over the globe, and they'll probably find it in Antarctica tomorrow morning. Stay there. Let's talk about it more.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping, or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Welcome back.
Do you think they'll like this song?
Glad that you joined us today. We're going to go back to David Shaler here in just a moment. We are offering a new group of items that we're very, very excited about to you, the listeners. You know, I've been a big shortwave listener ever since I was a little kid, and my dad would get a shortwave radio out and put it on the dinner table sometimes and tune into World Band, or sometimes they'd listen by their bed at night to BBC broadcast and, you know, radio channels out of other countries in English. A lot of really entertaining stuff, a lot of informative stuff on shortwave radios. And we have found the best quality radios. I mean, they're as good as Sanjian. I mean, they're really good digital tuning radios that have great selectivity, amazing quality, and they're a lot less than Sanjian. The KA1103, I would say, is comparable to a Sanjian that's about $150. I wouldn't call it a clone of it, but it's a similar radio. And it's $109. Now, stores have it for about $130. Other folks I know sell it for about $119. We're selling it for $109. And then it runs the gamut. We've got radios down to less than half that price from the same company that we've tested. And I talked to a lot of shortwave users and listeners, and this Kato, this group of Katos really are fantastic. And they come with just so many different functions. So tune into the world, and even if you listen on the Internet, when you have this, you can tune in. I'm on from 11 to 2 on shortwave and back from 9 to midnight on Big WWCR. Comes in really good unless you have a giant solar radiation explosion like you had yesterday, and then even AM radio has problems. But or sometimes you'll be able to hear some ham operator with 1 watt in Tokyo. That's the weird thing about big sunspots or solar explosions and radiation bursts is it'll knock out some stuff and then intensify other things. But it really is something you need in your emergency preparedness. It's also a very selective. You know, these shortwave radios also have really good AM and FM receivers in them that'll pull in stations that a lot of your, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff you buy at the, you know, at Best Buy or at some other store, you know, that's got the bare minimum quality transmitter, excuse me, receiver. These are just really good quality, and you can get them via Infowars.com, the KA1103, the KA11, the KA008. We've got the spy radio is what they call it. It's analog, hand-tuned. It's solar, and it has a crank, and it has a flashlight, and it has a compass, and it has a thermometer, and it has a siren, and it has a clock, and it is a really, really low price as well. I mean, these are quality, and I hope that it's $49.95. That would be a great stocking stuffer, a great gift to give. So go to Infowars.com and peruse that off our Safe Secure Online video and bookstore that also offers Made in America, highest quality American Berkeys, but we also have British Berkeys, highest quality shortwave radios at a super low price. And on top of it, the 9/11 Inside Job t-shirts, my new film, Terror Storm, with the 68 minutes of extras from the 9/11 Neocon Agenda Symposium. We have about 20 different specials we're running right now. If we get your order in by the end of the 15th, we're attempting to ship it out that day or the next day, so you'll get it days before with UPS Ground before Christmas. So get your orders in now. If you're writing to us, write to us now at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704, or simply you can call toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. And last but not least, PrisonPlanet.tv. All 15 of my films. It's got to be 40-something other films we've been authorized to post by other great researchers in the highest quality bandwidth down to low bandwidth, whatever your choice, in two different formats. We have my weekly TV reports, my best audio interviews from the show, in-studio video interviews with guests, special reports. It's all there. Until the end of this month, you can get a yearly membership for almost half off. 5.3 months free. That's what the special comes out to. Exactly. Or get a trial membership for a month for $5.95 at PrisonPlanet.tv. And all of your purchases and support make this operation possible and make what we're doing possible. And it's a win-win. You support us, you get powerful, informative materials and products that are all about information, all about getting the word out, all about making your life better, all about being healthier. And then you support us to put out more materials that counter the globalist and what they're doing. Going back to David Shaler and talking more about Litvinenko, and everything that's happening, before we go any further, tell folks about spies, lies, and whistleblowers, David.
Well, that's a tremendous problem for the publishers of this book. I mean, to start with, the government sat on it for 15 months, because if we'd published it, we would have been put in prison again. And then, of course, once we got it out, the publishers wouldn't put any money into it. They wouldn't even go into paperback. The hardback first run of 3,000 ran out, went quite quick in about 6 weeks, but then they didn't go into paperback. They didn't go into paperback again. And we've tried to contact them, because surely by now they must owe us money, or it must have gone out of, they must have stopped selling it, in which case it's gone out of print, and the rates revert to us. So we're having tremendous problems, and my strong suspicion is that they were sent in by the intelligence services in the first place. They realise you don't get anywhere by banning books now, but what you can do is get somebody to take the rights off you, so you no longer have control over your own work. And I find it very frustrating when I go to talks and talk about what my experience is, and then people say, have you got a book? And I say, well, yeah, you can get it off Amazon.com, but I'd like to be able to sell one to you myself here, but I can't do that because the publishers won't give them to me.
Well, let me be clear on how this works. They first, under the Official Secrets Act, you spent 6 months in prison for going public about government-sponsored terror and other criminal...
That was in addition to the four 4 months in France when they tried to extradite me as well.
Exactly. So a total of 10 months. So we have that going on. Then they openly, was in the papers, blocked the publishing of your book. You had to go to court to fight it. Then the company that came to you prints 3,000. They sell out quickly, and they don't print more. Let me tell you what's happened with Terror Storm. It went to number 8 on Amazon. Then when we knew they had it in stock, because it's all computerized, when we knew they had thousands, over 4,000 in stock, they said, no, we're out, and said 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, for 2 weeks to drive it out of the top 100. Then Barnes & Noble's, everybody, and this has been confirmed, they would have them and then keep them behind in the, you know, behind in the store warehouse, and people would have to come ask for them, and they sold out, and then now they've said we're not going to carry it anymore. And I've had Colonel Craig Roberts, who's had, what, 3 best-selling books, one sold millions of copies. He writes books about the New World Order. He's had New York publishers tell him, look, the CIA runs New York and London publishing, and that's come out in the Senate hearings in 77, and we're not going to let your book get out. You got to self-publish. So, folks, it is just unbelievably frustrating to deal with this. I mean, take Google.
On that subject, Alex, what I'm doing, though, is I'm going to rewrite the book. I'm planning to produce something in January next year. Basically, I'm on the case now, rewriting it, so that they can't claim copyright, because it's going to be in my name rather than Annie's. And I've got a new website. There's not much up there, but I've started the website. It's daveshaler.com. And people can contact me about how they can get this new book, because really what it is a witness statement of all the aspects of false flag terrorism I witnessed in the service. And when I say sort of false flag terrorism, I also mean letting terrorism happen. Now I've argued against the lie hop in 9/11, because you can't trust people, even if you've got intelligence saying they're going to fly planes into buildings, and they don't put the plane down on the nuclear reactor outside New York. That was very different. But with the IRA in London, or IRA in Britain, they always used to give code-worded warnings. So the area could be cleared. There were very, very few civilian casualties. As a result of that, there were no irate relatives of the deceased wanting answers. But nevertheless, because these terrorist bombs kept going off, people's lives were destabilized by it and so on. And also, of course, that was the beginning of trying to of compromising our liberties to so-called protectors in the war against terrorism.
Well,
I have lots of information about how they failed to stop the IRA. For example, when MI5 took over this responsibility, the Metropolitan Police Special Branch, who'd been responsible beforehand, didn't hand over a single reliable, taskable agent. Now, the only way you stop terrorism is by having agents. That's how the IUC did it in Northern Ireland. So there were no reliable agents. Doesn't look like they were trying to stop it at all. But even then, MI5 was forced to take on, the officers in MI5 were forced by MI5 management to take on telephone taps which were out of date and based on inaccuracies at the expense of more current targets. And MI5 also failed to incorporate the Met's data into its own records. So every investigation, every time somebody came up as a potential terrorist, you had to write to the Met to find out what they knew about them, slowing down the whole investigation.
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. I've interviewed a bunch of the bomb makers and the people involved with Steak Knife, and they've said point blank, 70%+ of the bombings were purely orchestrated by British Special Forces commandos, infiltrators, MI6, and that literally you'd be at a high-level IRA meeting, and that the entire leadership would really be agents and not even know it, and that they were out, in many cases, carrying out the attacks themselves.
Well, this is it. We know now from the Steak Knife book and from various inquiries, like the Stevens inquiry, that there was clearly collusion between the British intelligence services and loyalist terrorists to assassinate innocent Catholics. And, of course, in the case of Steak Knife, because he was head of the interrogation squad, or the nutting squad, he was actually torturing and killing other British agents who were reporting back on the IRA, therefore making the conflict last longer. And when you start to look at all of this stuff, you realize that terrorism has been created. In the first place in Northern Ireland, terrorism was created because loyalists were going into Catholic areas, they were attacking Catholics, and the IUC did nothing about it. Now, a few hotheads start to take up arms, but the vast majority of the Catholic community said, this is crazy, let's pursue the civil rights route like they did in the U.S. in the 1950s.
But they don't want that. It's just like Israel. Because the propagandists can't deal with people up front in suits speaking well and exposing the oppression, so they have to make it violent. That's how they would like to neutralize Gandhi, would just go out and do violence in his name.
And this is it. And this is what they did with when people wanted to have a civil rights march, it was banned, but they said, look, we're going to march anyway to have civil rights. And of course, what happened that day? In 1972, the British Army gunned down 13 innocent, unarmed Catholics. And it's now emerged at the inquiry into Bloody Sunday that one soldier, who is luckily has is being given anonymity, has admitted to shooting in the back a man waving a white handkerchief who was going to the aid of a dying man. Now, you just know, that's clearly an attempt to inflame Catholic opinion. Of course, the contract of democracy broke down at that point because the state was no longer protecting innocent people, it was killing them, and they said, well, look, we've got to take up arms. But of course, they started interning people, and as anybody who works in the intelligence services know, once they interned people, those people were not members of the IRA. When they came out 4 years later, they were, because they were saying, why should I support a state which imprisons me for nothing without a trial? We've got to defend our rights, and the only way we do that is by bearing arms, basically.
Now, let's be clear. The exact same thing's happening in Iraq. The 83 Israeli plan, the 2002 U.S. plan, was to break it in three parts, stimulate sectarian and religious strife, and then to build permanent bases and oversee it to make sure it stays third world, and then to make sure the oil isn't pumped out to then artificially inflate the prices. And so Bush hasn't screwed up in Iraq. They've done exactly what the original plans called for. Now they put it into this quote, process debate, when really the Iraq Study Commission is just saying, oh, we need to build up troops before we take them out, and the Democrats are saying the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Well, this is it. This is the problem with current politics, is when it comes to these kind of issues, the New World Order is so powerful that there's no opposition to them. Every journalist and politician knows in Britain and America, if they start standing up and talking about 9/11 being an inside job or the fact they're going to build permanent bases in Iraq or whatever, they know that the money's going to be cut off, they will have their personal life raked through, and they'll be discredited in the media, basically.
But despite all that intimidation, it's starting to break down. Let's get back to Litvinenko if we can, because that's important, but it all ties together. Now, again, I'm not saying it's Putin. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it isn't the oligarchs. I know this is cloak and dagger. And certainly the way this looks is it was meant to be a big spectacle. So we ask, who wants a big spectacle? Well, we know that Boris Berezovsky has financed a film, has talked about how Putin staged attacks. Then you talk about Litvinenko was writing a book, had been one of the main sources. Other FSB have gone public exposing this as well. So it seemed like in a way, and those guys were supposedly friends, and so now we find it at his office, but you say they could plan it, so we don't know. And then Putin might want to send a big message to all the whistleblowers to shut up about how he carries out terror attacks in his own country to blame it on Chechens. So, I mean, how do you navigate that? What makes you think it's the oligarchs, and then why would the oligarchs do this? Are you saying that because this coincided with Putin's refusal to go along with the attack on Iran and to give Israel continued oil? Explain to me why you come to the analysis that you don't think it's Putin.
Because if it was the Russian services, they would use the usual method of administering heart attack drugs that are very difficult to trace. If they wanted to get rid of a difficult dissident or whatever, that's what they would do. And that would also send a message out to other intelligence officers because they know about these things like I do. You know, when people die of heart attacks in strange circumstances or commit suicide, as David Kelly is supposed to have done, I'm always suspicious because I know these are the methods of the intelligence services. So that could send out a message to other whistleblowers in a sense. But what they've done is it's taken it a stage beyond that. It's a horrific slow death with this stuff. You know, people's internal organs all failing and everything. That sends out a much stronger message. And of course, it keeps the whole thing in the papers day in, day out. Intelligence services just don't like publicity at all. If it was the Russians, they wouldn't have done it in that way, basically. And of course, what we have now is Putin is on the back foot because people are pointing the finger at him. It's in some ways slightly compromised his position on the world stage. So he hasn't gained from it at all, whereas the New World Order has.
So what do you see Putin's geopolitical position in the whole gallery or in the whole panopticon of world figures?
I mean, I'm not sure how far in the it's very difficult to say is after Litvinenko's whistleblowing about the FSB planting these bombs, is how far that was actually an official operation, how far it was rogue elements of the SFB. Because a bit like 9/11, you know, I'm not saying the head of the FBI and the head of the CIA ordered this. What I'm saying is there are elements within those organizations who are not loyal to the US Constitution, who are working in the interests of the New World Order. So they are members of the CIA and FBI, but they are not loyal to the aims of those organizations. And that's what may have happened in Russia with the bombing of these tower blocks or whatever. In many ways, it's better to keep people like Putin and Blair and Bush out of the loop. So when they are put on television, they can sound very honest and very sincere.
Well, I do agree that Bush and Blair and Putin, to a great extent, are puppets. Probably Putin less than any of the other two there. I mean, certainly these big power networks, the institutions that couple in the revolving door with the global corporations and the banks, you know, that's who's calling the shots in these, you know, commission committee rooms between the different elites, men, you know, who meet and codify strategy and policy. We know that's how the world works. They brag about it. But I mean, certainly Putin stood to gain from the 1999 bombings, and I think he was a KGB guy. I certainly think he was involved in that from all the evidence.
Bush came from 9/11, but that doesn't mean to say he knew what was going on, does it? Bush was a lame duck prime minister before 9/11, lame duck president before 9/11. Afterwards, he became one of the most popular presidents for a short period. And I don't believe that Bush was in on the operation.
Stay there. We got a break.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, Mighty Film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
Welcome back. Final segment with David Shaler, then coming up about 8 after. We got another great guest coming on. Discuss what really happened in New Orleans, a new film they've made, and how it ties into gun confiscation, the police state, the lies in the media. David, I mean, let's try here in the final segment to navigate this. Certainly, Putin became guilty for helping cover up what the Federal Security Bureau, the KGB's new name at that time, had done bombing the buildings. Clearly, when the police arrested them doing it, and then more FSB came in and ordered them released, and these were higher-level FSB, then we had mid-level FSB saying it was the government defecting, leaving the country. It's the same thing with Bush. Clearly, Cheney was involved in there with the stand-down that morning. I mean, yeah, Bush doesn't run anything. We know that. But certainly he knows he was gifted this and then how to go follow the script. I mean, certainly shortly after Bush had to know the score, David. Same thing with Putin.
I think so, but they then find themselves in a difficult position. I suppose any honorable person would in those circumstances resign. But there's always a danger, of course, that if you do resign, you'll get some genuine puppet in place who will do everything the New World Order wants. I mean, at least Putin is saying no to invading Iran. And we should respect him for that, really, because that will be a disaster. We've seen the disaster in Iraq, 650,000 people dead.
Well, they were saying no to Iraq, too, but then they went along with it once it happened.
Well, this is true, yeah, but I mean, the very fact he's drawn the line in the sand now and said no about Iran, I think is very interesting in the fact that he has actually done that. And
why are they saying no to Iran? Because NATO's trying to take over Georgia and a few other places, and because Iran will link up with Afghanistan and, of course, then with Iraq on the other side, you'll have encirclement?
Well, I think he'll obviously do it for his own reasons of geopolitics as well, but nevertheless, to say, he's standing up to them. He is not going along with this whole crazy idea to go into Iran. And we should, in a sense, no matter what his motive is, we should respect him for doing that, for making it more difficult for them to launch another disastrous invasion in which lots of innocent people die and only encourage people to join terrorist organizations.
Well, I certainly get the point that you're driving home there. What do the people in Britain think? Who do they think was involved in poisoning Litvinenko and now the other guy that's in a coma about to die?
A lot of people are saying it was the oligarchs here. I mean, I got that message out very, very quickly on mainstream British television, not just in Sky. I was also on ITV, which is the main commercial channel here, on a very popular breakfast program, and I said the same thing then. Although you should have seen the look of the interviewer's face when I started mentioning the New World Order. Clearly, you're not allowed to do that on mainstream television, but I did. And therefore, you know, people are getting wiser in this country just simply because they can see the mess in Iraq. And they can see that this stuff to do with Iran is all being invented and everything else, in the same way that we had all the threat invented from Iraq beforehand. I mean, certainly Scott Ritter has blown the whistle on how MI6 were heavily involved in planting information in the world's media to indicate that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. And we also, of course, know how MI6 were involved in promoting information, even they knew it was based on obvious forged documents indicating
and then we
that
know
Saddam
that they
would try to get stuff from Niger, basically.
And then we know they staged it. And we have the White House and Downing Street memos. Well, David Shaler, it was great having you on. I know you now had a chance to see Terror Storm. What do you think of the film that you're featured in?
I think it's absolutely great. I was doing a talk at a festival in this country about false flag terrorism, and the next thing on the bill was Terror Storm. That was the first time I saw it, and for me it was great because obviously it was confirming to people things I'd said. Here was me, a former British intelligence officer, saying it, and there was you, an American, saying this. He's been investigating this sort of stuff for years. And then, of course, when I popped up on the film, people were very impressed to see that I was in this American film as well.
David, good having you with us. Take care.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at gcnlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.